Shalom Aleichem, on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Baba Kama Samach Aleph, Baba Kama 61b, pagination is 122, starting from the Mishnah about midway on the page. There is a special exclusion of how much you're liable for in the case of a fire that did damage, because of the pasuk that says, oh, hakama, that identifies the type of damage that was done, was like standing stalks. And therefore we're told that kiseitse esh, in the case where a fire was lit in the person's own area, and then it spread, even though he's liable for what goes on to the next person's property, but there is an exclusion, which we should simply refer to as a gezeiras hakosuv. That's the law, that it's only liable for ohakama, for things that are standing visible in such a case, but something that's tamun, something that's hidden, is a special exclusion, and the person would not be liable for that. We'll have to see how that plays itself out. In different cases, what happens if it's something that's normal to be there? At what point would the person be liable? Again, if it's a fire that's traveling, seitzeyesh, going from one person's property to a different person's property, there's going to be an exclusion of ohakama. This is the way the Sma presents it, in Tuf Yud Ches, Sif Katan Yud Aleph, says the Mishnah. Hamadlik es hagadish, a person lights the produce, vayubo kelim, and there were vessels in the pile, a shovel or hidden items. We have to know things that are logical to be there, things that are unusual to be there, but this is the concept of Tamun, the things were hidden there. Vidalku, and they burnt. They were destroyed. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Mishala Masha Besocho, you're obligated to pay for whatever got damaged. It makes no difference. Bachachamim Omrim Eina Mishalim Elagodish Shalchitim Oshal Saorim. The Chachamim say, this is the view that we follow, that he's only liable for a pile of grain of the type of grain that it was. Now, indeed, if there was a treasure chest in there, then the space that the treasure chest was displacing will be calculated based on as if there was grain in that spot. You don't simply get absolved for the unusual thing and get off. It gets calculated as if it was chitin or seorin, but it does not have liability for the treasure chest that was there, even though it's his fire that caused it to be destroyed. Skipping three lines, Umodim Chachamim l'Rabbi Yehuda, the Chachamim acknowledged to Rabbi Yehuda, b'madlik es habira, if a person lit a mansion, a building, shehu meshalim koma shabasocha, that he would have to pay for everything that's in it, even though it's tamun, it's not visible, it's not ohakama. Shekein derech b'nei adam lahaniach bevatim, because it's normal for such things to be in the house. So that even though you have silver or whatever you have, that's normal to be in a house, and it's therefore not called tamun. Let's skip down to about 14 lines from the bottom, where Rava explains this machlokes between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda. And Rava says, Bitarti Peligi, they're arguing in two things, two big considerations that we have to pay attention to. Peligi b'madlik b'soch shalo, there's one discussion, if he lit it in his own area, v'holcha v'ochla b'soch shachavero, and then it spread to the other person's property, Rabbi Yehuda mechayev atamon ba'esh. Rabbi Yehuda says, you're chayev in tamon. V'rabbanan savri lo mechayev, and the Rabbanan have this exclusion learnt from the pasuk of Oakama, only things that are visible that you're potter by tamun ba'esh because it was hidden. That's machlokes number one, whether we go with tamun or we don't go with tamun. Upligi nami b'madlik shel chaveru. And there's a second argument regarding lighting in his friend's property, meaning it didn't spread. It wasn't a case of kiseitzei esh, but rather he went over to the mansion and he lit it on fire. Rabbi Yehuda sava mishalem komasha besocho. Rabbi Yehuda says that's like direct damage and you pay everything, afilu arniki, even if there's a wallet among the produce case, which is unusual. Rabbi Yehuda would say you still chayiv. For Rabbanan Savri and the Rabbanan hold kelim shadakim latman begodish, only things that are normal in that application. So in a granary, there would be some sort of pitchfork, perhaps, that he would be obligated to pay for. In a home, we're obviously going to be more liberal in what's normal to be kept there. And therefore, he's going to be chayiv if he lit it directly, and it wasn't a case of kiseitzei esh. If it's going from his rishus to someone else, there's greater exclusion of tamun. Otherwise, if he's lighting it directly, the exclusion of tamun is very limited, and anything that's normal to be there, he's going to be liable for. The Gemara on the facing page, Samach Beis Amud Aleph, adds on another consideration, and that is counting up from the bottom about six lines. Amale Rav Yema le Rav Ashi, Ta'in Kisa de Kaspa Bevira Mai. If a person claims that he had expensive items in the mansion, would this person have to pay for it because he did this damage? Amalei, he sold him, chazino, we check it out. Iinish omidhu, if he's a person who it's reasonable to claim that he had such assets. The islai kasa de kaspa, inami, or iinish mehemna, he's a trustworthy person, and it's logical that people entrusted such items to him. Then indeed, Mishtava v'shakil, he can make an oath that those items were in his property, and he can take them. V'imlo, and if not, lav kol kemine, he can't claim such a thing. In the next session, we're going to explore, is it that he's not trusted, or it's more than that, if the item is not normal to be there, then there are reasons to limit the liability. Yeshe Koach, thank you for joining.